88.1 FM, WCWP.org. That is brand new from Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues. Yep, they're still making music after all these years. That's from his album called Spirits of the Western Sky. And On the Road to Love. I'm Bernie. We have a big announcement here on WCWP. Pete Bilotti is with me. He is the president of the WCWP Alumni Association. Pete, welcome.
Hi, Bernie.
Hey, glad to have you along here.
It's a great homecoming weekend.
It is.
The barbecue's firing.
We have a little spontaneous applause here. Thank you very much.
Very spontaneous.
We are going to make the announcement now of the inductees of the next class. The induction ceremony will be in April of 2014.
That's right.
So.
Well, I'll leave it to you. Okay. You were inducted last year.
I was.
Along with Bill Mosier. And we have 8 Hall of Famers right now, and we're going to add 4 more coming up in 2014. And this is certainly a unique class. This is a class of a lot of people that really had an impact on our station and on the WCWP brand. And Bernie, since you were a Hall of Famer last year, I'm going to let you do the honors of announcing our class of the Hall of Fame.
All right. First, we have Rita Sands. Next one is Frank D'Elia. Bill Epperhart, who we lost in 2000 to pancreatic cancer. He is here. And the other one, who should be here with us on the phone, is Ted David. Ted, you there?
I am, Bernie. Good afternoon to you and to Pete and everybody else. How are
you? Hello. Hello. Thanks for being on the phone with us. And may I be the first to say congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It is indeed an honor. And we've only had how many inductions? I mean, there are only, what, 12 people?
8.
Eight. Okay. So it's nice to get in on the ground floor.
Well, thanks. Thank you. Now, tell us a little bit about what you did after WCWP and during. Now, I know the big deal was, while you were still a student here, I think you were working at WGBB. Was it
GBB?
Well,
actually, LIX, and then GBB, and then HLI, and then PIX, all while I was there.
That's pretty impressive as a student. Very good.
Well, this is a real funny story, but I do want to make some comments about my fellow inductees at some point, so you let me know when I can do that.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Talk about yourself first.
Well, it's so hard for me to do that, as you know. the funny story about, first of all, the bottom line is this. If not for the radio station, and in particular Bill Mosier, who was, you know, the chief engineer, and I was going to LIU Brooklyn. I knew I wanted to go into the broadcasting business, and LIU Brooklyn at the time had nothing. I used to listen to WCWP, at night under my pillows from Queens if I could get the signal, and I knew I absolutely wanted to go to Post because of the radio station. My dad and I drove up. We met Bill, said, that's it, we're doing it, and so the rest is history, as they say. But the interesting and fun thing is, first of all, the station was so professional because Bill was working at WTFM already as an engineer, and then subsequently went to ABC. And so, you know, whenever the stations threw out equipment, Bill would scavenge and take it and put it in. And so we were known in those days as the college radio station that had the best equipment, and in some cases far better. And trust me, I worked at some of them, and so did you, far better than some of the commercial stations that were on Long Island. I think the funniest part of all of this was our second director of broadcasting at Post was Jim McConachy. And Jim, Mr. McConachy, as we called him, had been a staff announcer at ABC, among other places, and used the name Jim McKay on the air. And I guess the funniest thing was I took Radio 1, radio production or whatever the class was called, Radio 1 at CW Post, and my professor was Mr. McConachy, who was the director of broadcasting at the station. Lo and behold, one day I'm at PIX on a Saturday doing my noon to 6 shift, and who comes in to be my news guy? Mr. McConachy, who I now am told to call Jim. So it was rather interesting, and I didn't even get an A out of him.
Oh, man, he was tough. Now, tell us about the experience that you had during the strike. That was a very unique opportunity for you. There was an announcer strike? I can't remember.
I was a page at ABC. As I said, I knew I wanted to go into broadcasting, and so fortunately, I had failed 11th year math three times, and my father said, you must have this Regents exam, so you have to go to summer school. So I, in those days, I, some people may remember the Rhodes School in Manhattan. I ended up becoming a Rhodes Scholar, quote-unquote, and went there. I used to get out at 11 o'clock. I had nothing to do. I stopped by 1336th Avenue, went in. I said, do you have any jobs for pages? They said, if you can fit into the uniform, you've got the job. I went over to 66th. I fit into the uniform. I got the job. Lo and behold, November 22nd, 1967, all of the engineers and announcers went out on strike. It was actually a NABET strike. The engineers went out on strike, and AFTRA honored it. And me being a little bit pushy, just called Rick Sklar's office. He was the program director at WABC. I said, do you need anybody to go on the air? He said, yes, take a cab over here. And over I went. At the age of 18, he had me read copy, and I went on the air with an indeterminate-length newscast during the Jets game, and then worked for a good 4 months thereafter. Between you and me, I didn't go to class at all. I was running the board for, the jocks came back. Everyone came back but the staff announcers and the board ops. So I was running the board and doing news for Ron Lundy, Dan Ingram, Cousin Brucey, Herb Oscar Anderson, Charlie Greer, Chuck Leonard. It was just an amazing experience. And so by the time I got to Post, I thought I knew everything there was to know about radio and was pretty obnoxious.
I have a couple of friends here in the studio who you might remember. Bobby G., Bobby Guthenberg.
Of course.
And Barry Albano and John Mertz are all sitting here listening
to
you.
Oh, my. Hi, guys.
No, I'm good.
They were all here. And, well, thank you for telling. Now, you've gone on to do some pretty amazing things to CNBC, News 12. Tell us about life the past 20 years or so.
Well, actually, so I went to PIX and then worked there for 6 years as afternoon. Well, I was freelance. Then I did afternoon drive for 2.5 years until 76. And then in 78, I got hired at ABC News and was an anchor on the ABC radio network, the FM network and Direction network for 8 years. And then left there and went to CNBC, where I lasted for 20 years as an on-camera anchor doing business news. And then I retired at the age of 60 and started working at 1010 Winds, and I worked there for about 15 months until I decided the format was just a little too repetitive for me. And so I've been doing News 12 Long Island, and I love it there. Great people. It's a lot of fun. I feel at home on Long Island, and I work just enough, and it's good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, let's talk about a couple of the other folks. First of all, Rita Sands. We were all in awe of Rita Sands because she broke a lot of ground for women in radio. She was one of the first women anchors on, I think it was CBS News Radio. So we all really looked to her. She really led the way for a lot of people, especially women in radio.
She did, and Rita and I are very friendly, and you know, she can tell stories, and I will leave them to her for her to tell. But as a pioneer woman in the business, I mean, she had to put up with a lot of crap. And so she did pave the way for people like you. And I know you were a pioneer, so you put up with a lot of crap. But I think, you know, and we know what I'm talking about. And Rita was at WCBS. She was at the CBS Radio Network as an anchor. She was at the ABC Television Network. Rita was the first one of, I think she was the first board op at ABC Radio, the network. And there is a picture circulating on our website, on our Facebook page, of Rita sitting in 5T, the op studio, up at 1926 Broadway, cutting tape. I mean, she really was in the vanguard, and on top of all that, is just so damn good on the air. And I can tell you that, you know, I'm not telling tales out of school. We're all over 60. I'll just leave it at that. You're not, maybe. I don't know. But Rita, not long ago, went into Manhattan, went up to CBS, hadn't been on the air in years, sat down with Wayne Cabot, who's the preeminent afternoon drive anchor at WCBS, sat down with him and did a demo, and Wayne told me on the QT she hadn't missed a beat in all these years and not being on the air was just, you know, right there and on top of it. So she's just a wonderful person, a treasure in the business. And just, you know, what can you say? You can't say too much about her.
Yeah, she is amazing. One of the other folks, in this age of the freelancer and the daily hires, for somebody to be at one network for 30 years is absolutely amazing. That's Frank D'Elia.
Yep. Well, you know, I first met Frank in 1970. WCWP has a lot of history behind it, and some of it is you know, somewhat uncomfortable, or was at the time. Somebody got in there, and Steve Post from WBAI, and radicalized the station. And it got to a point, and I'm not getting political one way or the other. I'm just simply stating that at some point the university's license was in jeopardy as a result of the radicalization of the station and the students. But this was going on everywhere because of the Vietnam War and so on. And it was determined that if the station didn't shut down and close, just go off the air for a while, the FCC would pull the license. And so that's what happened. And then Bill Moser then took over as director of broadcasting. He had been chief engineer. Bill said, "I got to get some people in here to put this place back on the air." One of them is actually it's interesting because three of the four people who are inductees are all the people who Bill called on. Well, one of them was Bill Eppehart, and we'll talk about him in a moment. And the other one was me, and of course the other one was Frank D'Elia. And I think that what characterized Frank even in those days was a level of maturity and knowledge and skill. And, you know, he just got it done. You don't last as long as he did. And, you know, he was at WHN for years. I think he was at OR, wasn't he? I believe he was.
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, at ABC, where he's now still production supervisor and senior chief hook and bottle washer and so on, having been through the station through music and through talk and now through all of this syndication. And I mean, he's had more business cards and email addresses and domains attached to his name because of all the ownership. But, you know, he remains because he's good at what he does. And he was good at what he did at Post. And he's a loyal friend and a good guy and, you know, a professional in the truest sense of the word. I mean, you know, there is a guy who knows what he's doing.
He's also been able to hire some of our students who graduated, which is great. Getting them in the back door at a place like ABC is wonderful.
Well, that was always something that Bill Moser was able to do, too, was always direct students so that it wasn't just a college experience, but it then became a career opportunity.
Let's talk about our last inductee, who you mentioned briefly, and that's Bill Eppehart.
Well, I mean, what can you say about Bill Eppehart? You know, there are those people who unfortunately face medical challenges and pass away prematurely, and people feel that they have to laud them and praise them and talk about them in wonderful ways because, after all, you know, Bill Eppehart, were he alive today, would still get all the accolades and all the kind words because he was just that kind of guy. I first met him. Moser said, "I got to have somebody I can trust," and Bill Eppehart had a first-class FCC license. I said, "I got to have somebody I can trust to do a proof of performance," which is this highly—it's like doing a 10,000-hour check on a jet engine to run this whole station through, make sure that the transmitter is putting out the right amount of power, that it's on the right frequency, that all the equipment is modulating properly, yada yada yada. So Bill was the guy who came in. I'd never met him before. And so here's this tall, lanky, blonde guy with glasses and a very unique personality. He suffered no fools, put up with no crap, and tolerated no nonsense. But he did it with good humor, and that was part of his charm. And there wasn't a moment that you hung around him where you didn't learn something. If you kept your ears open and your mouth shut and your eyes open, you learned something, whether it was editing tape or how to do something better than you were doing it. I mean, Bill was a natural teacher.
He was, I agree.
You know, I mean, he was a natural teacher. I don't think he had any education credits, but, you know, so what? That doesn't prove anything. But he was patient, and he had all these nifty ideas and cool ways, cool things to show you, and all you had to do was be a sponge and be open to it and have some aptitude. And so many people did that. Not only did we put the station back on the air, Frank D'Elia and Bill Eppehart and myself and another fellow, Bill Coleman, but, you know, a number of us stayed friends, and well, we put the place back on the air, and then it ended up thriving. But Eppehart, on top of everything else, he was a ham operator, WB2DTY. He was, as I say, an educator, whether he realized it or not. He was a professional broadcaster. He was a loyal friend. He ended up being a very good father, just a super guy. And unfortunately, of all the cancers that anybody can get, the one that's got the worst, it's only got a 6% survival rate, is pancreatic cancer. And even there, Bill excelled in the sense that he managed to survive 13 months instead of the usual 4 or 5. And a number of us went and spent much time with him in the hospital, and Bill Moser and I went out to visit him and brought in Chinese food and hung out with him. And, you know, he managed to try and rise above it. And if there can be an amusing recollection, I went to visit him in the hospital one night. I got off the air at CNBC and stopped at the hospital. And unfortunately, this was a Friday night, and it was the Friday before he passed away on Tuesday. And so Bill was in pain, and me not, being terribly afraid of things. He and I get into cahoots about writing his morphine levels up and down so that he would be awake and could talk. And then when the pain got bad enough, we'd crank his morphine back up, and then he would sleep for a while, and then he'd wake up again. And so this is what we were doing. We were playing morphine roulette at Bill's behest. And when he was awake and not in pain, he had a TV that swung around in front of him. You know, he had worked at NBC as a construction engineer. They built the whole studio, I think, 3G or somebody there will remember, but one of those studios. He's a project manager. So we swung the TV around, and he put his glasses on, and he went, nap, nap, nap. He was just hilarious. Everything on TV he had something to say about, and he was always right. It was just, this was no good, and the quality here sucked, and the picture here was awful, and the color was out. And it was truly an amusing and funny time, oddly enough, in the otherwise awful context of someone who was dying, for Bill to still have that in him. The keen eye, the sharp sense of humor, and the willingness to critique it all. So,
Thank you. Thank you so much for that recollection. And congratulations. I think Pete wants to jump in here for a second.
Ted, we're very happy to have you into the Hall of Fame. And I really, just talking to you over the last few weeks, it's good to have you back in the fold here at WCWP. And congratulations to all the inductees. But Ted, thank you for joining us. And we look forward to talking to you soon. And we'll see you in April.
Thank you. And in fact, sooner than that, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I look forward jumping in there and playing
Have
some old
fun. It's
old
been a while.
Tunes.
It's been a while.
Right.
So welcome back. Thank you.
Thank
and this
you.
This is for all the new kids in town, the new inductees into the WCWP Hall of Fame.